Ladies and gentlemen, prepare yourselves for a shock.
Ready to be challenged? Maybe a little offended, but definitely shocked. This is Shock Therapy Live. Your therapy session with Nate Heitzig. We're not looking for stump the pastor questions, so put down your Devos and open your diaries. Really, this isn't systematic theology.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Not at all.
This is Shock Therapy Live. Now, here's Steve-O.
Yes!
Aw, yeah, we're back.
I'm so happy!
Man, I just pooped myself. That's how happy I am.
That's okay. It's a good thing you wear them adult diapers.
I'm all hopped up on Red Bull and Mountain Dew.
It is Shock Therapy Live, Steve-O, Pastor Nate Heitzig with you, hanging out for this hour. And I know, it's been a minute, so
dude,
let's remind you.
It's cray-cray.
Yeah.
I don't even know what happened last time.
So, let's see. Previously on, okay, the mom went nuts. She grabbed the daughter. Wrong show.
Yeah,
wrong show.
Yeah.
This is Shock Therapy
Live. How do you feel about that?
I watched it for the second time last night because he just got caught up. And him and Chrissy, I think, are in the same boat. They were depressed. I was done.
I was like, I'm done.
I, on the flip side, am saying, how can you guys give up on this if you've seen six seasons of disgusting? Don't you just want to see how it resolves? There's still a potential for the outcome to
That's the worst methodology I've ever heard in my entire life. Oh, it's been so disgusting for like the past 6 years, but Why stop now?
I'm just saying.
Just keep going down the disgusting rabbit hole.
It seems like they're building to the resolution, and I just need to, I have to see it.
If there's one thing you've learned, Breaking Bad, was there any good resolution?
No, people are, see, there's still people who have never seen the end.
But I'm just saying, I think they've shown us with some of these new dark shows that are out, there is no resolution to doing the wrong thing and living a bad life.
But I think that's good.
Yeah.
I mean, that sounds
but
terrible,
I don't want to
but
see
it's like,
it.
It's, no, you're right. But it is a solid message of, hey, man, these are the consequences to your actions. It's kind of like what we were talking about earlier with author Sam Williamson about grace versus morality. And I feel like some of these shows, like Breaking Bad, I thought it was a great example of like, yeah, man, sin seems delightful for a season, but man, you get caught up, you get ensnared, and then it grows and it gets bigger and it festers and it's hidden and your life is destroyed by it.
Yeah, I just don't want to see it.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you on that. I hear what you guys are saying.
Oh.
Shock Therapy Live, not
brutal.
Sons of Anarchy. And Steve-O, Pastor Nate Heitzig. Here's the deal. Here's what we want to do. We want to hang out with you. If you are dealing with something, maybe you just don't know how to answer a friend. Maybe, I mean, in this day and age, it seems like nothing is off limits and,
nope.
The gnarliest of conversations are happening right on Facebook. And, it seems like there's this weird battle on Facebook right now. And somebody wants to post a blog or post a comment. And then there's 147 comments underneath it. I don't think that's the answer either.
Happens on Instagram now too.
Oh man. And so what needs to happen is these real conversations. So how do you have those? How do you talk to a friend who is dealing with whether it's, sexual sin, whether it's homosexuality, whether it's cutting, whether it's maybe you're dealing with it and you'd love to talk to someone, but you are nervous about that condemnation, that whatever, you feel free to anonymously get it out there to us because we just want to hang out with you.
You know, because I've realized I have people in my life that when there's something going on, a question I have, there's people I can talk to, but some people don't have someone that they can talk to when they have a big question.
Yeah.
So if you've had a big question, maybe something going on in your life and you don't have anyone that you feel you can share that with, what Steve-O and I are, we like to, this is Shock Therapy Live, but we are unshockable listeners.
Yeah.
We've heard so many things. There's nothing you can call us and tell us that we're going to like be flabbergasted and not have an answer and call the cops.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing you can call and tell us that we're going to be so shocked that we're not going to listen to.
Absolutely.
So whatever's going on in your life, whatever has happened in your life, we want to hear it. That's what this show's about is what is going on in your life and how can God's redemptive power be active within your life.
And that's it. Everything we look at will be looked through a biblical worldview, a biblical lens. And so it's not our your opinion. Well, I think this or I believe this. It's God's word. So if you, in the beginning, very upfront, just to say, if you do not adhere to the word of God, if you don't call yourself a Christian, if you do not consider yourself a believer in Jesus Christ, then I will say now, maybe we won't agree on some of the issues.
Yeah, we've had some interesting conversations.
We have had some interesting
conversations.
So just know, first and foremost, we're not trying to trick anybody. We are believers in Jesus Christ. And so our standard is the word of God. And so that usually seems to be where we get in conflict.
Yeah.
So
call us, or if you want to remain anonymous, don't want people to hear your voice, you can email us at mystaticradio.
Yeah. .com. There's actually a link on our website where you can send us a contact form, or you can straight to the studio@mystaticradio.com. That is our email address. We'd love to hear from you. Phone lines are jammed already. So you want to get to line one, and let's see who we got. Static.
Okay.
They got nervous. That's okay.
Got a little shaky.
Little scared. Little nervous.
Shaky. So what were you guys talking about? Because I think we have some people who want to chime in on the topic.
Yeah. Well, we had an author on this morning. He wrote a book, and when I saw the title of the book, I actually got nervous first, because it was like, oh man, what is this? Is Sunday school destroying our kids? And I'm thinking, I hope not. My kids go to Sunday school every single week. And it was great because we were able to diffuse it pretty quickly. He's not saying that Sunday school is a bad thing and kids shouldn't be in Sunday school. It was just the way that we equate the gospel to our children is more than just good morals or being a good kid. Mm. It's equating that gospel of grace to your children so they grow in that understanding of what the gospel of grace is and what is grace. So, yeah, it was interesting. Static!
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
How are y'all today? It sounds like y'all are doing awesome.
Good. It sounds like you're in a...
Every day? That's great. Praise God.
It sounds like you're in a tornado.
I know, right?
No. Okay, I just got off the reservation. That's the Isleta Triangle, you know, Bermuda Triangle.
Got you.
Anyway, I called because you guys give advice.
Okay.
So I'm talking with a young lady in my life. Now, I'm trying not to pound the Bible, as they call it. Anyway, she's living with a baby's daddy. She wants to do drugs, and quote-unquote, she's happy in her sin. So how do I get some advice on that one? I just look at her and I say, well, you know, enough said, but hopefully she sees Jesus in me, you know what I mean?
Well, my immediate question is this. Is this someone who professes Jesus Christ? Is this someone who says, hey, I'm a Christian, but I'm living in this? Or is this someone who you would say is a non-believer?
Well, I'm going to say non-believer because she was raised as a Catholic, but life's been hard on her. Mother's been hard on her. Dad evacuated, you know, thanks to the legal system.
Okay.
But he's trying to come back into the story. But you know, when I'm involved, I try to be, I'm going to say, civil and let them know that, you know, we just celebrated Christmas. It's all about Jesus. But here again, she still professes she's happy in her sin. You know, I guess it's the way of the world. But
okay. All right, cool.
So she does profess Jesus, yeah?
She's happy in her sin.
She's happy in her sin, grew up Catholic. Doesn't sound like she really is professing. So she would not say she's a Christian.
Oh, most definitely. She barely professes she's a Catholic.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. So, you know, a really difficult situation. We've talked to people about this before.
Yeah.
But it really boils down to the fact that the darkness hates the light.
Yeah.
And we can't expect those who are in the dark to want to live in the light. You know, we have people who are sinful. They don't have a relationship with Christ. And the Bible literally says that the gospel to the world is foolishness.
Right.
And so to try to explain to someone who doesn't have a relationship with Christ that they should live a good life, they're like, why? Right. There's no reason to. I'm living for myself. There's no reason that I should live a good life. There's no reason I should be moral. You know, this really goes to the morality thing we were talking about before. Mm-hmm. But people who don't live in the light, people who don't have a relationship with Christ, there's no reason for them to be good people. They have no reason to be good people.
Right.
And so more than approaching the issue of her sin, you have to approach the issue of her heart. And before she'll stop doing the things that she's doing, before she'll stop living in sin, she has to have a relationship with Christ. And that's something that can take time. You know, some people are really open to that from the very get-go. You can explain to them who Jesus is and the fact that he died for their sins and that they can have a new life in him and be promised eternity in heaven. And you can really, witness to them and use apologetics and they'll very quickly be swayed over and won to Christ. But there are those who are very hardened in their sin and hardened in the darkness. And that's a person that you simply have to show the love of Christ to and wait until they're ready, and when they ask you a question and you're there when they're ready for that moment, and then you can share the gospel with them at that point.
Yeah.
So it just depends where this lady is. It sounds to me like she's probably in the second group where she's hardened and she's, you know, more hardened in darkness and in her sin. And in that case, I would say you just love the snot out of her.
Yeah.
You show her the love of Christ. You exhibit the love of Christ. You ask the Holy Spirit to fill you with love, with peace, with patience. And then, when you get those opportunities to share with her the love of Christ and tell her about Jesus and who he is, you take those opportunities and you wait. And you wait for God to open the perfect door for that situation to happen.
Yeah, and I would encourage you to pray for those situations. Colossians chapter 4 is where I usually start when thinking of neighbors or friends or someone in my life who does not profess Jesus Christ. Someone who is, as the Bible would put him, quote-unquote, an outsider. Someone who is does not know the Lord. It says, pray for us that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ. And I love that Paul uses the term mystery because, as you said, it's foolishness. It's weird. They don't understand the mystery of Christ. So pray that God will open that door so that you can declare the mystery of Christ, on account for which Paul says, I'm in prison, that you may make it clear, which is how you ought to speak, so that you would adequately, eloquently relay the mystery, the gospel of Christ. And in verse 5 of Colossians 4, it says, walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious. First and foremost, let it always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. So I would say, yeah, continue in that prayer that God would make that door clear and open, and that you would be able to adequately relay the gospel to this friend of yours whom you obviously care for.
Amen. Sounds like a plan. I'll read Colossians and pray hard on it. I thank you for your advice.
Absolutely. Thanks for the call.
Take care.
All right. 505-338-37 is the phone number. Man, I missed the show.
Dude.
I'm glad we're doing it.
It's good times.
Yeah, it is. It is. First Shock Therapy live of the new year for us. So if you'd like to hang out with us, phone lines are open. 505-338-3700. That's 505-338-3700. Or you can send us an email. I know we got one email question that we need to get to.
But just on this note, I think of a lot of people who might have a friend who's living in sin, who's not a Christian, and they're at this place like, man, how do I talk to this person? How do I reach this person? You know what? What would you say to that person who has this unbeliever? How do they start a conversation and get someone to start thinking about God?
Man, because there's so many different methods right now, you know, where it's like the unbelieving friend. I have a situation, or had a situation, where a really good friend of mine, someone I grew to be really good friends with, I should say, was in my life. He was Buddhist, not really, you know, didn't really know anything about Jesus, didn't grow up in the church, zero understanding of it. And day one, when I met him, I did not approach him and say, oh, cool, you're Buddhist. Well, I'm Christian and here's what the Bible says, and you're a sinner and you obviously just have a head full of lies. I built a relationship with that person. And I know some would say, well, you know, John the Baptist, man, he stood on the corner and preached repent, you know, cause the day is at hand. And, you know, and so there are so many different quote unquote methods. And for me, I think it depends on the situation. Just like Colossians said, that God would open that door to reveal that mystery of Christ, because for me, it was building a relationship with this person to where I could get to a place and say, hey, man, what about you? What about you? What about Buddhism? Like learning their his story. Why Buddhism?
Yeah.
You know, what is Buddhism offering you? Why do you find your contentment there and identify yourself as a Buddhist? You know, well, because of this and this, and then learning and really listening, because everyone you encounter. Yesterday we heard this incredible story about a photographer in Washington, D.C. who was taking pictures of homeless people to try and show how cold it was. Well, this photo got on USA Today.
Oh, yeah, that guy, they found his family.
And they found, and the mom saw this photo and said, that's my son! They lived in New York City, found this kid living on the street in Washington, D.C., were reunited, and the journalist had this incredible quote in USA Today. Today was, man, it just reminded me as a journalist that every single person we encounter has a story to tell.
Huh.
And so every single person you encounter has a story to tell. There's probably a pretty good reason why your friend is a Buddhist, or why they have these beliefs, or why this floats their boat at the time.
Yeah.
And the gospel of Jesus Christ is relevant, is real to all people. We know in the book of Ecclesiastes that God has written eternity in our hearts, and we're all seeking. So what is attractive to that person about where they are? And there's nowhere in the universe that God has not spoken to or about. And so you got to find out what it is. Why are they attracted to that? Or not attracted to Christianity? Because I'll tell you, most times people who hate Christianity have a deep hurt, whether it was a stepfather or a youth pastor or a coworker or something, where someone in their life presented themselves as a Christian and then deeply wounded them. And so learning that story and on a real level, being able to first apologize for that situation and show them the love, the compassion, the mercy, the grace only found in Jesus Christ.
I think too, it's good to ask them some key questions to get them to start thinking about their beliefs. Cause some people just have this blind belief because, you know, whatever, it makes them feel better when they sleep at night, whatever. They have this blind belief, but it's not grounded in anything. So there's a few key questions that I found, whether it's someone who you've known for a long time or someone that you just met, there's three key questions that I found you can ask them that can get them to start thinking about these things.
I like this.
And open the door.
Okay.
And it's, what do you believe is going to happen to you when you die?
Yeah.
Why do you believe that?
Yeah.
And what if you're wrong? And if you ask them those three questions, you know, usually by the second question, they really don't have an answer for why they believe that. I've found most people I talk to, I say, hey, what's going to happen to you when you die?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I think I'm probably just going to cease to exist. Why do you believe that?
Yeah.
I don't really know.
I've never really thought about
that. Well, what if you're wrong?
Yeah.
What if what you believe is wrong? And what if Jesus Christ is the way and you stand before him on judgment day? What if you're wrong?
Yeah.
And then it really, they start to kind of freak out. They're like, man, I've never thought about it like that, you know? And it really starts to make them ask a bunch of questions in their own hearts and really question what they've believed and why they've base their entire life in eternity on that.
And see, and asking those questions and being a solid listener and caring about their answers is very important, because man, for the longest time, I would get nervous when I was trying to speak to anybody about my faith, about the gospel of Jesus, because I felt like a salesman. Like, man, I got to say the right things. I got to seal the deal. I got to make sure that I got to be prepared in this way. And of course, we are called to be prepared in season and out to give an account. But it's so important to listen. Because you got to remember that soul, that person you are speaking, they are a human being. They have a soul.
Yep.
And God cares deeply about that person that you're speaking to. And so we should give thought and we should listen to what they are saying, so that we in turn can give the truth in a loving way. Because, man, I know so many salesmen. I was a salesman at one time, man, where it's just like, seal the deal. You know, here's what I got to say. Here's what I got to do. And if they don't, then obviously the veil's not lifted and they're just blind and it becomes stressful. You get like anxious about sharing your faith, and it shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't be a burden. It should be a blessing. It should be an opportunity. It should be something you're excited about, not something that you're nervous about or burdened by.
I'll find too, like when I'm on an airplane, if I'm talking to somebody,
yeah,
I think they expect when you tell them you're a Christian, they kind of expect you to go on and really start preaching, preaching to them.
Yeah.
So I'll find what I'll do is I'll often just trick them in a way. So I'll be on the airplane, we'll be talking, and I'll be learning about who they are, where they've come from. They'll say, okay, well, what do you do? I'm a pastor.
Yeah.
Oh. And then they'll kind of wait there, and I'll be, and I won't say anything. I'll just kind of sit there. And then they'll wait for like a few minutes of like awkward silence. Well, what church are you a pastor at?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm a pastor at a church called Calvary Albuquerque. Yeah. We're a non-denominational church. Oh, okay. Just wait. Well, what do you believe?
Yeah.
You know, if you let them ask questions, then they are the ones that are bringing the information.
They're
vested.
They're not
jumping down their throat.
Right.
They're asking questions.
Yeah.
And so I found that, you know, people expect, if they hear that you're a Christian, especially an evangelical Christian, they expect you to jump down their throat with the gospel.
Right.
And so if you cannot do that and get them to ask you questions about what you believe, then when you give them the answers, they can't get mad at you because they're the ones who ask you what you believe in.
Well, unfortunately, most, you know, you're right. When you say that, hey, I'm an evangelical Christian, I'm a Christian, barrier, wall. Okay, here's my defense. Most people have a built-in mechanism where it's like immediately on the defense. And that's not at all what it should be because all of a sudden it becomes like warfare, like you're battling somebody. This crazy chess match. And it should never be that. It is that relationship. It was,
Yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah, I always like to just, you know, kind of freak people out with that. They're like, well, you're a pastor. What religion? Oh man, I hate religion.
What
do you mean? I think religion's killed so many people over the past, you know, 200 years, 1,000 years. Religion has destroyed people's lives.
Yeah.
Man, I agree. So where are you a pastor? I'm a pastor at a Christian church in Albuquerque. Oh.
Wait.
It freaks them out. Their brain immediately does this like 180.
Yeah.
And they then have to like, everything they've thought has just been changed in that conversation, and you have to almost reform it and rebuild it at that point to give them a correct view of what Christianity is.
Yeah, because I would say at least in American culture, they already come into the conversation having some knowledge in some way about quote unquote Christianity. They have this mind, their predisposition to either, I've got this idea because I read this article on this news website or this crazy Christians were over here protesting. So you're one of those crazy protesters or you're one of people will come into it and you really have to kind of tear that down and rebuild anew this fresh foundation on Jesus. So 505-338-3700 is the phone number. Phone lines are jammed right now. So let's take a phone call. Static.
Hey guys.
Hi.
Hey guys. How's it going?
It's going well. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I'll have a question at the end, but I just wanted to share a real quick testimony if it's all right with you.
Yeah.
So I was born, my dad was a pastor for as long as I grew. So I was born and raised as a Christian and really fell away from that and started doing my own thing. Well, this past year I started smoking and just not doing good things. And I got to where I was clinically depressed, bad depression. I didn't even want to get up to spend time with my own 2-year-old daughter. It was just terrible. And, my wife was about to leave me and everything, just how bad it was. I didn't want to do anything. And I went to one counseling session and just that one session just told me, just helped me rewire my brain of how I need to think about things and not think about the negative and think more about the positive. But anyway, I started slowly coming out of that and I've listened to you guys. I listened to Static Radio for probably about 6-7 months now, and I always try to tune in to Shock Therapy, if not Wednesday morning, then when replay it on Sunday night.
Yeah.
And so I was listening, and then I listened one night on a Saturday night and got really into the message that was being preached, and so I decided to rededicate my life.
Wow.
After that, then I got a call from the church, the town of Albuquerque, so then me and my wife started going there this last Sunday. We went there for the first time. So I just want to thank you guys for really helping me pull out of losing almost everything that I have.
Wow.
With being so depressed. You guys, just listening to the radio station and just hearing messages of hope and wondering, being more curious after everything, and then deciding to get back into a church. So I just want to thank you guys so much for that.
Man, that's awesome. That's
amazing
great
how
to
God
hear.
Works, yeah.
So you said someone called you from Calvary Albuquerque?
Yeah, it was, I think, I think he said his name was Pastor Kyle.
Oh, cool. And did he call you? Did he call you because you had come before and it was a new person card you had filled out or something?
No, I had called in after after one of the messages. They said that if you were listening and you rededicated your life,
that's
awesome.
They called me back and he said,
"Dude, that's so cool."
Go down and sit with him and talk with him. But I just with my work schedule, I haven't had a chance to. So I'm hoping to get down there next week.
Yeah.
Sit down with him and talk to him.
Man, he's at all the services too. So if you come on one of the Sunday services, just come up to the front at the end of the service to the front of the stage and say, "Hey, is Pastor Kyle Nelson around here?" And we can direct you to him. And I'm sure he'd love to hear your story.
Yeah, that's cool.
Awesome.
Thanks,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, dude. I'm glad that God was able to use the show or the station to bring you back. That's cool. It's always cool to hear.
Yeah. And then one question for you guys, real quick, is not really ever been into reading the Bible a whole lot, and every time that I've started, I've tried different reading plans that just not necessarily got bored, but just didn't follow through with it. Is there anything that you guys recommend starting, like a book starting with? Or
I think this is I find a lot of people that are like, man, I have such a hard time reading the Bible, so I read Purpose Driven Life this year, And so I hear a lot of people that will do something like that. They'll read another book, and I'm not for that because
right.
I think you need to read the Word of God.
Yeah.
And it requires, like anything in life that is good for you, it requires discipline. You know, doing a diet and eating healthy food requires discipline if you've been eating junk food. You know, going to the gym and working out every morning requires discipline if you're used to sleeping in. You know, and so I think reading the Bible, at the beginning, it's hard. It's difficult to sit down and be disciplined and read the Bible, but once you've done it, once you've done it and it's become a part of your life consistently, then it will forever stay with you.
Yeah.
So you've almost got to push through the pain, just like working out, just like going on a diet. You got to push through the pain of the first, month or two, and just really be focused and disciplined and sit down and read it. And there's a good way to do that. You know, it's called inductive Bible study. And what you want to do is you want to. I recommend reading a chapter at a time. You read a chapter and every few verses you stop, what I usually do is I'll read the chapter once through and try to get an understanding of the passage, and then I'll go back through it again and I'll ask myself a few questions. I'll ask myself, what does it say?
Yeah.
What does it mean? And how can I apply it to my life? So you want to ask yourself those three questions for every verse you read. What does it say? What does it literally say here? And what does that mean?
Yeah.
And how do I apply it to my life? And if you ask those three questions, you're going to see you're going to get a lot more out of your Bible study, because you're going to be looking and you're going to be digging into the Word of God to see what it has to say for your life and what it has to apply to your life of where you're at now.
Yeah.
And so we don't want to just read it like, okay, I read it. Just like a novel, you really want to dig into it and see what it is that God has for you through His Word. There's passages I'll read, and every time I read it, I'll get something different out of it, I'll see a different nuance to Paul's writing or what he's saying to the church and how it can apply to me. So I think it's really important to inductively read the Bible.
Do you have a study Bible?
The only Bible I have right now is I've downloaded an app on my phone.
Oh, okay. That is very cool.
That's awesome. Actually, on that note too, the lifechurch.tv Bible app has some great reading plans.
Yeah.
Some reading plans so that you can read the Bible in a whole year.
Yeah.
Lifechurch.tv put out a great app, and every year they do some really cool reading plans that you can actually see for free on their app.
Where would you, say to a brand new believer, hey man, dig into God's Word, what book would you tell them to start in?
I always tell people to start in Matthew.
Okay.
I think Matthew is a great book. The first place you want to start is with Jesus.
Amen.
He's the center of the Bible. And so I always tell people to start with Matthew, because John is a great, I love John, but it's my favorite gospel. But John, for a new believer, gets a little bit like, okay, the light and the Word.
It's
and it's like, you're like, I mean, for a strong believer, it's like, oh my gosh, this book's incredible. And you can jump right from John to 1 John. And you're like, oh my gosh, this is so awesome. But for a new believer, Matthew is a simple narrative of the life of Christ.
Yes.
And it's a great book.
It's incredible.
And it asks some deep questions. The parables of Jesus ask some deep questions for our lives personally.
Yeah.
And so, now the first chapter, you got to kind of, buckle your head down and get through that. It's a genealogy. You're going to read a lot of names you can't pronounce. I think Matthew's a great book to start in.
Agreed.
Or for that note, Mark. It's a shorter gospel. You can get through Mark and get a narrative of the life of Christ.
Yeah.
But again, some of those reading plans on like Life Church. Twitch.tv are a great place to start.
Cool.
And, you know, if you're really in for, you know, some meat and wanting to see what God has for your life, Romans is a fun book to read.
Yeah.
You know, with Romans, you really want to take your time through it. You know, maybe do half a chapter a day and ask those three questions and have a notepad and write down a ton of notes.
Yeah.
And God will really teach you some crazy things through that book. So.
Yeah. Yeah. There's some great places to start. Don't get overwhelmed. I agree with what Pastor Nate is saying. Just, you know, jump into a book of the Bible. Start with the gospel. Another great way to start, honestly, you could start with Luke, because he wrote a couple letters. And so Luke, if you go into Luke and then you go into Acts directly after that, it's kind of like, hey man, here's the life of Jesus. And then here's the history of the beginning of the church in the book of Acts. And so either start with the gospel.
Yeah.
Start right there, and I recommend. I like that you have an app there, because most apps have a great way where you can, you know, you touch on a maybe a verse, and it'll show you where else in Scripture you could find things that pertain to this. You can, there's so many different things. That Life Church app is pretty great.
It's great. I would download that.
Yeah.
If you search for it on the App Store, I think it's just the U version, Bible U version. But they've got some plans. Right when you open up the app, it has plans. You can start a plan. Mm-hmm. You can browse all the different plans. So they have devotional plans, topical plans, whole Bible plans, family plans, youth plans. Really good plans for your whole family to go through the Bible.
You can never go wrong starting with Jesus. Get that foundation deep into who Jesus is. So
that sounds like it could be like a not of this world shirt or something.
Oh, sorry. All right, man.
Thanks, man.
Thanks so much for the call.
Have a good day.
You too. 505-338-3700 is the phone number. We have another call we need to get to. We have to take a quick break. Coming back, more Shock Therapy Live. We've got an email question to get to. We've got a phone line open for you. 505-338-3700. Right back with more Shock Therapy Live. Boop.
Thanks to BC Nolan for supporting the ministry of Static Radio. B.C. Nolan, a local New Mexican artist with work exhibited in collections from Hewlett-Packard and the Discovery Channel to the Palace Collection of Costa Rica. His artworks have been featured in Jay Leno monologues and are familiar worldwide as album covers and Hollywood set pieces. Thanks, B.C. Nolan, for your gift to the Ministry of Static Radio. Check out bcnolan.com.
Hey, what's up? This is Toby Mack with a challenge for Jesus Freaks from The Voice of the Martyrs.
When's the last time you sat down and read an entire book of the Bible? At The Voice of the Martyrs, we turn often to 2 Thessalonians because it offers encouragement to persevere through persecution and explains how to live in light of Christ's return. Read it for yourself. It's just a few pages and includes this request for prayer that resonates still today. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified just as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have faith. For more good words from BOM, go online to persecution.com.
Shock Therapy Live. Maybe this time the treatment will take. Better yet, chime in now on Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio or call 505-338-3700. We find it best to get it off your chest. Now, more Shock Therapy Live.
Welcome back,
man.
Shock Therapy Live. Steve-O, Pastor Nate Heitzig.
I'm at a loss for words.
Hanging out with you. We're more than halfway through the show already. What happened? All of a sudden I looked up and it was almost 9:40.
Dude. Good times.
I know. We got a phone line open, 505-338-3700. Let's take line two. They've been patiently waiting for a while. Static!
Yeah, good morning, guys. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Well,
how are you doing?
Thanks for hanging out.
Oh, pretty good. I just actually had a question.
Shoot.
I told Mateo at the beginning I only had one question, but as a developer of hearing your conversation, I had two.
Okay.
I'll just throw it out there real quick. One of them is, you know, I really believe, I guess they both coincide with each other. I really believe God's calling me to really step up in, you know, in, we've had a complete restructure of our church as far as in the body, and it's a whole new demographic, and I mean, it's a bunch of different things, and you know, I really believe God's calling me up to step up and, you know, just put this, this earnest and passion in my heart to, like, you know, you need to get on this, you need to step out, and you need to, you can, like, really, you know, I want to use you, you just have to trust me. Mm. And it's like, you know, I really believe he's setting me up for a real, to become a real pillar in the church, but I kind of in myself is, I guess, yes, I know I'm unworthy of any position God gives me just because of, you know, like, I can't, who am I, you know what I mean? Like, who, what, I don't know, I have this thing like, what, you know, what, how, you know, how can you possibly use me? But anyway, it's hard for myself because the career paths I'm trying to take, yes, I have a regular job, but on the other half, I'm really passionate, and God's put that passion in me. I've prayed about it. I've, you know, a real passion of, because, you know, I'm close to, you know, maybe by the end of this year being a full-time, you know, professional mixed martial artist, and to really take that, you know, ride that out. But again, on the other half, it's like, now it's like, God's really putting this in my heart to really step up in the church and really step up and become, you know, get involved in the ministry. I mean, and I've been at my same church for so long, and I've never stepped up in any sort of ministry because I've always kind of just, you know, I've always just feel like, you know, well, if I'm attended, if it, anywhere they needed help, I've always been there to help. But I've never really full-time stepped up in ministry anywhere. And I guess that was because of myself. But it's like, you know, in mixed martial arts, when you're training, it's like, it's the same kind of, you know, you got to have that same integrity and hard work and dedication and passion. It's the same thing you got to take towards it. But for me, it's like, who am I to, you know, like, how can I talk to someone? I feel so uncomfortable. Cause it's like, how, if I already have the opportunity that God wants to put me into, to speak to his people, how can I do that with, like, you know, a fat lip, a black eye, or, you know, I have that from training, or, you know, a broken finger from sparring, or, you know, something like that. And I just feel like, you know, like, even when people find out, like, oh, what do? I tell them my day job, and then they tell them, oh, well, that's all you do? And I was like, no, well, I have two jobs. And when I tell them, well, yeah, well, I'm studying mixed martial artists, you know, I teach, you know, one of the kids' classes and everything like that. And they kind of look at me like, oh, okay, like, yeah, that's great. And then, you know, they probably think my life's a wreck because they see me with, you know, black eyes or fat lips. And I kind of feel just so, not confused, but just, I feel like, how can, you know the desires of my heart and you know the passions of my heart, but where do I find a balance in between the two? How do I step up? I know that time is, you know, a factor, but it's like, I do believe that God can make that time for both of them and to where it will work out. It's just, I'm dealing with such, like, you know, how can I do that? Like, I feel like maybe I'm not good enough to, like, how can I preach your word and know I'm doing this? And I don't know, it's just,
man, I think you just got to do it.
Right.
You know, it sounds to me you're like, man, I think I should serve. I don't know. Should I serve? Should I do it? How do I do it? You just do it.
Yeah.
You know, and you're going to see if God's got, this is a methodology that I have. God would call people to do things, and he wouldn't provide for them the means for it to get done until they took the step of faith and put themselves in that situation. I mean, think about Moses. God told Moses, hey, you're going to part the Red Sea. And Moses is like, okay, cool. Well, why don't you start doing that a mile away from the Red Sea, and then I'll believe you and walk to the Red Sea.
We'll get a running head start, bro.
Yeah.
And
yeah. No. God says, walk to the edge of the water,
yeah,
put your feet in it, and put your staff in there, and then I'll do it.
Yeah.
This is a mentality that I believe, and I'm gonna say this. I hope no one steals it, because I'm gonna do a sermon series on it someday.
Okay.
Do something so crazy that if God doesn't show himself faithful, it'll be awkward. That's what you have to do in your life. You've got to do something so crazy that if God doesn't show himself faithful, it's going to be an awkward situation for you. That's the methodology of God throughout the entire Bible. I mean, think about Paul. Hey, silver and gold I have not, but but stand up to your feet and walk.
Yeah.
Man, if that dude wouldn't have walked, awkward situation. You know what I mean? So a lot of us want to wait for God to provide us the means for doing crazy things, but God says, no, take that step of faith and then I'll show myself faithful.
Right.
So it really boils down to our faith as a believer. Do you have enough faith to take a crazy step of faith and see God do something insane?
Yeah. Now, I love that. I can't wait for that sermon series. That's going to be cool. And I agree wholeheartedly. Here's the mentality that I would give to you. You're a fighter, man. Okay. And you don't, here's what you don't do. You don't wake up one day and go, hey, this weekend, I'm going to fight this dude and not prepare for it. You train every single day. You need to be in the Word every single day. You need to be prepared for that thing. And the moment you step out in faith, just do it. Pretend like it, think of it as a fight, because no fighter that goes into that octagon and has like a check in his heart and goes, man, I don't know if I can beat this guy. Their mindset has already cost them the fight. They're going to lose that fight. When you step into that ring, you step in and you say, I'm going to freaking destroy this dude. I am going to make this dude tap. I'm going to knock this dude out. And your mindset is to win that fight. And you right now kind of have that, huh, I want to do this. I don't know. Dude, it's too late. The door is closing behind you. You are in the octagon. Put the freaking gloves up and go at it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like, you need to fight, bro. Okay. Cause it sounds like God has placed this on your heart, but there's this like, I'm not worthy. And it sounds like Isaiah, cause Isaiah is hanging out going, man, I am a dude of unclean lips. I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy. And then God goes, boom, you're freaking worthy. So shut up and be worthy.
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
You are mine. I own you. I call you beloved. I have given you everything necessary to win this. So go freaking win your fight, you know? So, like, you just need to put your big boy gloves on and start swinging, dog.
And I truly do receive all of that. Dude, I guess I'm just so, like, mixed up, like, as far as the God, you guys are absolutely right, man. I mean, 100%. I just feel like if I were to... You know, I don't want to be a bad example, I guess, you know, like,
yeah.
if you're talking to the youth and they see like, well, who's this guy coming in with a black eye or coming in, you know, they don't know if they took the time to see other than my appearance and they could, you know,
yep.
I wish they would take the time more to see my heart and the way I live my lifestyle rather than, who's this guy talking to my kid and he has a fat lip? Is he glorifying fighting? Is he glorifying? And I'm not. I have nothing. It's just, that's something I'm passionate about. That's where I kind of get iffy, is like, is my appearance setting a bad example because of my other passions where I can't, you know, to where people don't want me, kind of, they give you that cold shoulder kind of, you know?
I have
like,
really
everyone's
good
into
news.
It too. Like, people
yeah.
are into it. They're like,
oh, yeah.
you know, when the youth find out, they're like, oh yeah, that's great. And I can use that. God can use that as
yep.
a tool, at least for the door to be open, because, you know, it's a, at least, you know, something to where it's a conversation topper, to where then when they start getting to know me, then they'll see, oh wow, his heart's actually completely different. His passion's actually completely different. That's where I guess I'm kind of so like,
you just gotta get over that, because I have really, really, really good news. In ministry, it's never about you. It's about Jesus. And so you're talking about wanting to equate like your heart and not just be on the surface. You're talking, you have all these great illustrations already. And so I'm telling you, man, you need to get in there and stop using a fat lip or a this or how can God use me. God's going to use you. He takes the foolish things of the world. He takes these broken sinners, and that's what's so amazing about grace, is he chose us, these really ridiculous vessels of stupidity, to go forth and share the grace and the redemption only found in Jesus Christ. So I think you just need
fighting's
to do it, man.
Awesome.
Dude, we get the fights.
We got you.
We
love UFC.
You tell us when you got a fight.
We're all
man.
About it, man.
Definitely, I will. I definitely will. I thank you guys very much, and I will take heed to your wisdom, and I receive it all, and I really will put it to practice and work. And thank you for at least allowing me to ask this question. Thank you so much,
dude. Work on your cardio. Get out there. You train in the Word. You dig in and be prepared, because there's some amazing fights ahead of you.
I receive that. Thank
right,
you.
Man.
I'm on it.
All right.
Thank
God
you, guys.
Bless, man.
Bless you, man.
Go put someone in an armbar.
Yeah. 505-338-3700 is the phone number. That's 505-338-3700. Man, that just got me like amped. Dude. I'm gonna go, like,
I'm gonna go punch somebody.
I'm gonna go. I bought a jump rope yesterday. We're gonna go jump rope.
Dude, did you see the Silva fight?
Oh yeah.
You guys got it?
No. We went over to some friend's house.
Dude.
Yeah.
Ugh.
I watched it. Did you watch it live?
No.
Okay, we watched it live, and so boom, the kick happens, and then it's like a split second, and then he grabs his leg and goes down.
Yeah.
And we're standing there going, "What? Did anybody see that? I thought maybe he broke his ankle. I didn't know." And then they showed the replay, and I seriously thought I was gonna throw up.
Dude, it's gnarly.
That is the gnarliest thing I have seen ever watching.
Well, this is
fight.
The funny thing. I remember when I first got into UFC. I watched like back when like it was like, you know, like Chuck Liddell,
yeah.
And when it was
got
what
the
was
Gracies
the
in there?
Yeah, the Gracies
Shamrock
and Shamrock,
or,
Ken Shamrock. Yeah. So when I was watching back then, I remember one of the first things I watched was like a UFC like worst knockouts or like worst injuries.
Yeah, yeah.
And there was in that show a Brazilian dude who did the same thing. He kicked and his leg snapped exactly like that. And it was like back in like early 2000s.
Yeah.
And so I had seen that and I was like, oh my gosh, that's gnarly. And then Anderson Silva, the big name, does it.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, oh my gosh.
I was really bummed when it went down because I was rooting for Chris Weidman. And I really wanted him to go out there and just be able to prove himself and go, look, I'm the champ. Because the first time around, people were like, oh, it's a fluke. Oh, it's a fluke. It's because you weren't fighting the real Anderson Silva. I will say he, like, handled himself really well in the first round. And he did, of course, block that that kick. But I still felt like it was one of those situations where people are still criticizing Weidman as if he didn't do anything.
Yeah.
It was a freak accident type thing. I really wanted Chris Weidman to prove himself.
Yeah.
I really did.
And this is the thing now, like, I think that's an injury that takes so long to recover
yeah.
from. I think it really is, like, he's done. I think he's not gonna
His
be able to fight again.
His trainer says he's coming back, but I'm like, okay, we'll see.
Dude, your leg is, I had,
yeah.
my, you know, I broke
yeah.
my tibia.
Yeah.
And, dude, I can't do things like I did before.
Yeah.
It's a life-altering injury. You're never the same.
So,
you can recover, but you're never the same.
Speaking of fighters and Christians, Chris Weidman, professing believer in Christ, Vitor Belfort, who's next in line
Dude,
for the belt.
Super,
he
super
is a whosoever.
Christian.
Yeah, so it's like, who do you go for? I think I go for Vitor, I think.
I go for Vitor. I'm for Vitor. I love
I've,
dude. He did that I Am Second video and I was
yeah,
like, dude, this
he's
guy
a good dude.
He did Aaron Gillespie the almost,
oh,
you know,
yeah!
music video.
That's right.
Dude, he's an awesome
It's gonna be
awesome
a good
dude.
Fight, man.
He's like good buddies with Vitor's good buddies with Stephen Furtick too. He trains
oh, okay.
Stephen Furtick. Like, dude, Vitor's
Good
a
stuff.
Strong believer.
If you are not into the UFC, we apologize for the tune out.
I don't apologize.
Static.
Hi. I wanted to thank you guys for what you were saying to the last caller. I wasn't listening at the beginning of the call, so I don't know what all he was being said. But when I got in the car and turned on the radio, you guys were talking directly to me.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that's awesome.
And everything you said was so applicable. I found myself recently in a situation. I've been actually working in youth ministry since I was 13. But this past September, my dad, who was the pastor of my church, passed away. Mm. And since then, I've been preaching to the adult services. And it's been a really rough transition for me because I have those same feelings of, like, inadequacy of, you know, I don't know what I'm doing because I haven't gone through the schooling for it yet. You know, I'm trying to get to that point where I can get the schooling and stuff. You know, and I do know the word pretty well, you know, and so I, when I get up there every Sunday morning, I am fully relying on God to bring me the words that I need to say because I'm inexperienced with that kind of audience. And so it has been rough, you know, I've been trying to, you know, spend time with God and, you know, and I'm fully relying on faith, but it's rough, you know?
Yeah.
And so hearing that kind of encouragement was really helpful.
Oh, that's awesome.
Right on.
That's awesome. Thanks so much for your call. We
yeah,
love hearing things
you.
Like that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. 505-338-3700 is the phone number. We got
Dude,
about 2 minutes
have
left.
You read this email yet?
I haven't.
It's so cool.
Okay.
This has, like, been a show of people calling in, like, just saying what God has done through this show and how it's worked. And listen to this. Hey guys, I downloaded you a few months ago on my iPad, and it was the best thing I've done in a long time.
Wow.
I am a Christian female born and living in England. About
what?
4 years ago, I found Christ again, but I've struggled with masturbation in that time. I've gone for periods without doing this, then I would fall into it and feel guilty and dirty all over. At times, I would think that it was okay to do after all, I was not actually having sex. I prayed and prayed, then I discovered your podcast. What a blessing. I would go to bed playing them to sleep. Happy to say, all my desire has gone. And if I start to feel anything, I put my mind on God and remember your words in your podcast. I wish you were around when I was younger. I so wanted to call and thank you, but I wasn't sure on the time zone. Thanks again.
Wow.
How cool is that?
Gosh. I want to say, very plainly, it's been really cool getting all that. And I want to... And I know you would say the exact same thing. Give all the glory to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Because it is the way that he works, man. God moves in these incredible ways. And so it's cool to hear like, hey, God used you, but it's don't ever let it become about Steve-O and Pastor Nate Heitzig. It is always about Jesus. And that's amazing that God's been able to use this show and this podcast. And just continue to write his words on your heart. And gosh.
And I can't imagine going to sleep listening to myself.
That'd
be the worst thing ever.
That is hilarious. Man. Wow. That's
cool.
I'm speechless,
like that.
And that's rare. So
it's a good way to like
yeah.
close out the
you
show.
You know, we love hearing from you. No matter where in the world you're listening or podcasting us, you can send us an email. We will always get to them. studio@mystaticradio.com. It is only because of you, the listener, that we are able to do this show, that we continue to do this show, because as long as we are getting emails, phone calls, people dealing with real life things who are open, honest, and vulnerable enough to say, hey, Pastor Nate, I am dealing with this, or I don't feel adequate in this area, or I'm confused and I don't know what to do. It is because of you, the listener, who calls in, who makes yourself vulnerable, that we have a show.
Yeah.
So, because yep. if not, we just talk UFC and Sons of Anarchy for an hour. And that
Which we don't mind doing either.
Boring. So, yeah, we wouldn't mind it.
Yeah.
We could do that all day long because that's how we roll. But these are the special shows that we remember when people call in and we're able to just relay the gospel and relay truth of God's word to
these are the emails we love to save. You know, we've gotten those emails from people who've been changed by the show, and we love to save them and use them in the future. And I know I've used them in sermons that I've taught before, and you know, it's really cool to hear how God can use something as small as a radio show to impact people's
Albuquerque,
lives.
New Mexico, to speak to somebody in England listening through a podcast.
I'd love to have you write back if you're listening to this podcast, you know, whatever time it is in England when you listen to this. I'd love to hear how you heard about the show.
Yeah.
You know, how you heard about the podcast, if you're just searching through the App Store and you found us, or if someone told you about it. But I'd love to hear how you heard about the show, how you heard about Static Radio, and what made you decide to start listening.
That's pretty cool.
It'd be a fun thing to listen to.
We've been getting more and more of that lately, and it's really encouraging to hear how God is using this station. I want to remind people, we have 45 seconds, so I want to remind everybody who is listening, who loves this show. Not everyone can give, but to those who can, we are a listener-supported radio station. We're our own 501c3 nonprofit organization.
Yeah.
And it is through listener support that we're able to do things like Shock Therapy Live, like Team Awesome Morning Party, like Middays with Mitch and Afternoons with Celeste, and able to have a staff here and to rock this radio station 24/7. So if you're listening and you do have those means, or you're a local business owner and you're thinking, hey man, I want to support something awesome in 2014, partner up with us, because we as I said, listener supported, we could always use your help, and we're so grateful that God has given us the means to continue to do this. But if you're out there listening, mystaticradio.com, you can find out information on how to donate, how to become a monthly contributor. And thanks to every single person who listens, who's a part of it, week in and week out.
Yeah, and hey, if you are a donor and you give money to Static Radio, know that this is fruit to your account as well.
Absolutely.
And so when we get awesome emails like this, I want to give you guys a round of applause who donate, because God is moving through your gift of donation to speak to people around the world. So
Absolutely.
Good job.
If you missed any part of Shock Therapy Live, find the podcast, mystaticradio.com. Just look up Shock Therapy Live. You can also find us on iTunes. It's a free podcast. It's available every single week.
Amen.
We'll see you guys again
Trixie,
next week.
A girl, a car, a resolution.
Boom!
Bam!
What?
Shock blew Therapy your mind.
Comments made do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Real Doctors, Moms, Calvary of Albuquerque, any political party, Puppies, Static Radio, or, well, just about anybody else except for the moron who made us use the delay.